Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. It is February 25th. Wait, it's Friday. The rest of our Wednesday. I'm Garrett. That's Brad.
Hello.
Enjoy going back to work.
I will.
No.
Will I? I
maybe.
Know. No, I won't. A little bit. Not really.
Okay.
And there's the show title, and my job's done.
And we're done. No, I actually have to work Saturday this weekend, so I have to go in for a few hours and put in some extra time because it's fiscal year end at the end of March, and sales has a number to hit, and we have to comply. So that's fun and exciting.
I'm
glad you're actually going to try and make it this year.
Well, it's not like we're going to get bonuses if we do. So, I mean,
true. They might, though.
And I'm salary, so I don't get anything for going in this weekend. So, I mean,
welcome.
Whatever.
Welcome. Welcome to the club, sir.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Bunch of jerks.
So, how was your weekends?
Weekend. Let's see. What was my weekend? Well, it precipitated again Sunday.
Are you getting used to this, or is this still a weird occurrence?
I'm starting to grow mildly accustomed to it.
The sky is not crying.
Which is strange.
It's not injured. This is actually
the
normal.
The world was really, really sad.
Nope, this is normal in most of the country.
Yeah, we had to pray to the gods because we thought they were mad at us.
We made sacrifices.
Wade was out in a loincloth doing a rain dance.
Covered in goat's blood.
And we have another show title. Anyway.
That's right. I like it. Get all these out of the way early. Hope you're writing these down.
Yes. No. Maybe.
A bunch of errands on Saturday and more work on the home improvements on Sunday. Had to make two trips to Home Depot this weekend. So I hope that counts for something.
Getting to a point where he knows all the employees on the first name basis.
Hey, Jim.
Where'd you forget this time?
I didn't know you were working today. Cool.
Hey, that's not your apron. Give that back to Tom.
What
are you doing?
I see what you tried to do there. You tried to trick me.
Tricky. No, we're making good progress, though. So it's kind of the home stretch of the finishing work. All the grunt labor, so to speak, is done.
Sure.
For now.
Awesome.
Now it's the artistic labor that's going to be coming in.
Exactly. That's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, and that's where I fall apart.
Yep.
Wade, your weekend.
Pretty uneventful. I mean, I was just trying to get things ready for the channel, and it's needing a lot of work, unfortunately.
Wade's been a little lackadaisical lately, despite frequent efforts to light a fire, met with extreme hostility.
You have no efforts to light a fire. Every time you see me, you're like, I have this many videos ready. It's like, it's great. Guess what? Don't care.
You know, lighting his computer on fire is not actually helping him produce videos. Just saying.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, what I do is on his days off, like tomorrow, I throw water on him so he can get up and get productive.
Uh-huh.
Is that bad?
Yeah. Yeah. You should probably stop.
Okay. Shouldn't do that? No.
I see years of therapy ahead. Let's make it.
He probably needs years of therapy now.
Let's make it two appointments a week.
Double it up.
Let's go.
Where do you think all my money goes? It goes with the medication.
So, my weekend was interesting. Did we ask you?
We're going to movies.
I don't think we asked you. Just talking out of turn, thinking you're all special.
Well, go ahead.
I was done. That's all I had. I figured you'd just take the reins again and be done with it.
Now that you've started, let's hear about your weekend.
So, for our listeners, us guys, actually did end up hooking up last week.
Easy.
It was a good time. So,
show title.
As much as we tried to get together for the podcast, that did not work out. And we went into that last week, but we did manage to get together finally at the end of the week.
We couldn't get him to sleep on the couch for a couple days. Sorry, people.
Oh, well, what are you going to do?
restrain you.
You try to save him on a hotel, you know, hotel fees, but I mean, he doesn't really pay for those anyway. So,
well, and you know what? It was convenient.
That is what it is.
I got to the airport nice and early.
Yep, and sat there.
And sat there.
All day.
We will use duct tape and we will restrain you from leaving. That way you'll be.
No, he didn't get home till like 11 o'clock that night.
No, it was actually later. It was after midnight. There were some issues with aircraft and delays, and it was very eventful.
Which airport were you flying out?
LAX.
Ha! Not my airport. Screw you.
LAX to what? Detroit?
No, I went through Minneapolis.
Yep. Minneapolis.
Not my airport.
It was not your airport. I wish I was out of your airport. It's a lot more convenient. Anyway, yeah. So we played paintball this weekend.
I saw that. How'd that go?
You know, kind of mixed. It was a lot of fun, obviously. I enjoy playing paintball, and it's awesome to get my wife out there playing with me, except we didn't get to play together. So I own all my own gear, as you know, and as we've discussed before.
I think I see where this is going.
And she doesn't do it often enough, so we just rent, you know, the rental special when we go. Got her the rental special, we went in, and my gun jammed on the first round while I was in the field.
Which gun?
I did not have the pistol, the Tipex, strapped to me. I just had my SP-1. I spent a good hour or so troubleshooting that. And that...
Did she play while you
she
were
did.
Troubleshooting?
Good. Absolutely good for her. I was glad she did. But so I had issues with that. And it took me a while to resolve. And I think I have it fixed. I never did end up getting it fully operational there on the field. So she played a few rounds, and then we had arrived late, so it was getting towards closing time. So she handed me the rental and said, you know, I brought a book. I've fairly well had enough. So you go play a couple rounds and I'm going to sit and read.
Did you not bring the Tip X at all?
No, it was in my bag.
Oh.
So,
just didn't want to solo gun it with the pistol.
You know, I thought about it, but they
had it. Come on.
Yeah, I should have. Next time, maybe.
I did that. I did that when
they
had
a couple guys out there with fully automatics, though. So, yeah.
Going solo pistol would be fun if you had a bigger map that you could be more stealthy about it. That's one thing I was really bummed out about when I was there. And especially on the speedball course with the big inflatables is that there's no room to flank at all. It's heads up, and if you don't have a fast firing gun with a lot of paint to throw downfield, you are on the
receiving end of paint.
Short end of the stick.
Yeah.
I reloaded a bunch of times and I was shooting the best I could, but I don't think I ever hit anybody.
So to take that and make it worse, you played on our speedball field.
Yep.
It is now winter in Indiana, which means we're now on the indoor course, which is slightly smaller but has more inflatables.
Okay.
So it's packed and, you know, there's very little maneuverability and, yeah, it's just...
How many people are we talking on the course at once?
I think the biggest match we had, there was probably 30. 15 to a side.
That's 15 each, right? Okay. I wasn't asking what 30 divided by 2 was for our listeners. I was making sure that wasn't 30 per team. Making sure it was 15 per team.
Yeah.
So leave a comment if you think I'm an idiot, though. It's
okay,
fine.
Hold on. I'm leaving a comment. So that was our weekend.
I just censored myself. You should be proud.
I am very proud. Well done. Roll on, good sir. Roll on.
That's it. Well, let's just get to some movie news then. If we're not, we don't really have much else on this end.
Let's do it.
All right. So, in the movies this week,
we had the Oscars.
Speaking, did you watch
not.
It? I don't know if they're going to be able to find a better host than. What's his
name? Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris. I did throw a post up on Facebook for those who saw it. I think he did a great job. He had a lot of fun with it. He poked fun at some people, all in very, pure humor, nothing, not provoking or anything like that. He did a tribute to Birdman. He came out in nothing but his skivvies at one point. So it was pretty funny. All in all, good show. I did not watch all of it, I will have to say. And I was surprised. And I mean, congratulations to Big Hero 6 for getting Best Animated Movie at the Oscars. We know How to Train Your Dragon got the Golden Globe and a few others. But we shared the wealth a little bit, so that's fine.
So on that point, I did see your surprise that Big Hero 6 won. I would like to remind our listeners, and feel free to go back into the archives and re-listen to that episode, where I went to see Penguins of Madagascar and told you that it was a really good film, and you can keep your mouth closed about how awesome Big Hero 6 was and how much better it was. So why were you so surprised?
Because How to Train Your Dragon, I feel, is a better movie, and How to Train Your Dragon got awards in other venues.
Well, so, they had their rewards.
Again,
rewards, awards.
Got a reward for you. Awards, rewards. They were rewarded for their awards.
That's right.
It's not that Big Hero 6 is a bad movie by any regards. It's just that I really enjoy the Dragon movies. They've gotten their awards in other... I was just surprised that it wasn't consistent across the board. That's all.
All right, then.
So that happened. So, movie news. We have about five movies this week. Number one is called Focus. It is rated R. Critic rating at 62%, starring Will Smith, Margot Robbie, and Kristen Stewart. And it is about a con artist takes on an inexperienced apprentice in this crime comedy. Looks fairly entertaining, 62% above average, so it could be a good contender. I'm a fan of Will Smith. I think he's very versatile, and we might go see that.
This movie's been done before with Nicolas Cage and someone else. I remember seeing that. I don't know the titles, but I remember Nicolas Cage playing a con artist in...
Was it Matchstick Man?
I don't remember. I didn't see that.
I didn't see that one, though. I can't say.
Matchstick Man was Nick Cage playing a con artist.
Could be that one. But that one was with his daughter. He had a daughter involved in that or something. And yeah, there's no daughter. This is all...
Fake daughter. Oh, sorry, spoiler alert.
Okay, so that's Focus. Also coming out is a more horror-related movie called The Lazarus Effect. This is rated PG-13 with no critic rating. The big name here is Olivia Wilde. You may know her from House or a plethora of other movies that she has been in. Very successful, obviously. This movie follows a group of researchers led by Frank and his fiancée Zoe, who've achieved the unimaginable, bringing the dead back to life. After a successful yet unsanctioned trial on a newly deceased animal, I believe that to be the dog we see in the trailers, the team is ready to unveil their breakthrough to the world. When the dean of their university learns of their underground experiments, their project is unexpectedly shut down and their materials confiscated. We all know that there's more to that if you've seen the trailers. If you haven't, it's probably better for you to go in maybe a little bit more blind. If it's a movie you're interested in. I find it interesting that they're a university when Olivia Wilde's like 35, 40. So, anyway. Agreed. I'll kick her out of bed. Number three in the list, Maps to the Stars, rated R, critic rating 65%, with Julianne Moore, Mila Wasikowska, you may know her from Alice in Wonderland, Robert Pattinson, and John Cusack. Quite a list here. The Weiss family making their way in Hollywood. Stafford, a TV self-help therapist. Christina, the wife, managing their 13-year-old son Benji's child star career, who, at 13, is a fresh rehab, quote, graduate. Take that for whatever. And their daughter, Agatha, who has just been released from a psych ward and is ready to start again. Agatha soon befriends a limo driver who ends up being Pattinson's character, and becomes a personal assistant to actress Havana Sigrind, I believe it is, who happens to be haunted by the ghost of her legendary mother. Agatha is on a quest for redemption, whether it's in this realm or the next. So it sounds like a lot of complexity to that one. Could be interesting. Definitely got a decent cast going on. It could be kind of funny seeing the chaos of a family with a fair amount of demons, it appears. Again, 65% on that. Number four, titled 71, as in the year 71, rated R, critic rating at 98%. Movie takes place over a single night in the life of a young British soldier accidentally abandoned by his unit following a riot in the streets of Belfast in the year 1971. He's unable to tell friend from foe and increasingly wary of his own comrades. He must survive the night alone and find his way to safety through the disorienting, alien, and deadly landscape. Not a lot of names I recognize in that, so I'm going to believe that to be a limited release, but sounds pretty intense and political, or at least historic, for the 71 riots. And finally, The Salvation, rated R, 53% from the critics, featuring Eva Green, who we know from, I think she was in some of the Mummy movies. She was also in the most recent Sin City movie. And Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who was in The Watchmen. He's also in the show Supernatural, amongst many others. This is a white-knuckled tale of revenge. When he lays waste to the scoundrels who killed his wife and son, a Danish ex-soldier incurs the wrath of a sadistic gang leader hell-bent on hunting him down. So an intense thriller in that one with some decent names. 53%, so it's right there across the average mark. But could be a good option for the weekend for us moviegoers. In the box office, we have 50 Shades of Grey staying on top at 22.3 million, Kingsman: The Secret Service pulling in 18.3 million, The SpongeBob Movie holding in third at 16.6, and McFarland USA, which released last week, at 11 million. Our honorable mentions this week is The Duff pulling in 10.8 and Hot Tub Time Machine 2 pulling in 6 million. Without any movies seen this past week, we are ready for the news.
Let's start off on a positive note this week, because later in the news can get depressing. Let's do that. So, we'll start high and, you know, go from there. So, one of the big drawbacks in mobile computing, mobile anything these days, is battery life, right?
Yes.
I mean, yes. We've got powerful, I mean, the latest iPhones and the Galaxies and all the latest phones are just phenomenal with what they can process, but none of them seem to last very long battery-wise. So, an Israeli startup has tackled this problem, but like most revolutions, they decided to come at it a different way. Instead of trying to make the battery last longer, which is what we've been struggling to do for the last 30 years, what if they made it charge quicker?
Okay.
And the Israeli company named StoreDot has developed a way that they can store the battery, store the energy rather. The battery is made up of crystals that are 2/1000000ths of a meter across, 2 nanometers. And they lattice these together to create a high-capacity energy storage that can be fully charged in 30 to 60 seconds.
Nice. Wow.
Nice.
So even if the battery life of this new battery is, you know, let's say you only get 4 to 5 hours out of it, I can spare a minute every 5 hours to just pop it in, stand there for 60 seconds, and then go.
Seriously.
Seriously.
So,
and obviously, if the battery life is on par to existing batteries, but can charge at that rate, I mean, that's definitely a step forward.
Absolutely. So, the catch to it, obviously, you know, no progress comes without a catch, is the amount of current required to do this. In current prototypes, it requires a specialized charger. So just for comparison's sake, I will do iPhone. I don't know what your Android devices draw, but I imagine it's fairly similar. iPhone, the default charger that comes from Apple draws 1 amp. The iPad charger is a little beefier because it's a bigger device, and it draws 2.1 amps. The charger for this Nano Dot battery draws 80 amps.
Whoa.
Holy crap.
Electric bill so, much?
What's that?
Electric bill.
Yeah. Well, but it's only for 60 seconds, so meh. The problem with this is going to be having an outlet to charge it from. Most household outlets can only hold 15 to 20 amps.
Okay. Even the 220 volts voltage is still the same amperage.
Well, 220 in America you typically only find on things like for dryers or stoves.
Correct.
And those are 40 to 50 amps.
Okay. So yeah, you're not changing the amperage, you're just changing the voltage.
Correct. In theory. So it's very promising. This may be the way of the future, you know, instead of trying to make the battery last longer, make it charge quicker. But obviously something has to be done about needing to supply it with that much inrush current.
Well, let's look at this. Because the charger can handle 80 amps, and at 80 amps it can charge a battery in roughly a minute. And a standard iPhone charger is at 1 amp. Jumping up to 30 or 40 amps is going to still be a vast increase over the existing.
And you're not pushing the device to its limits.
You're not overpowering it because the infrastructure isn't there. However, you're still doing a 40 times increase over the current existing technology.
Oh, absolutely.
So even if it charges in 10 minutes...
That's still a lot better.
Now, I don't know if you know this, just on a side note here, or if you experience this with your iPhone, but I have found that if I have my screen on when the phone is charging, if I don't put it into like sleep mode where the screen turns off, my phone essentially will not charge. Is the iPhone the same way for you?
It will charge, but it charges a lot slower. And the reason for that is the biggest power sink in the phone is the screen backlight.
Yeah.
It's not even the screen itself. It's the light, so you can see it.
Followed closely by the radio. Yes. So they say if you want your phone to charge the fastest, you flip it into airplane mode.
Turn the screen off or set the dim factor to the lowest setting possible.
And you have your most optimum charge times. Anyway, side note, public service announcement, call it what it is.
So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on this technology as it develops and see what they end up doing with it.
I agree.
I could go for faster charge times.
Definitely. And even if they put it into one of those like cell phone cases that's an external battery, you've seen those. If they were to do something like that where it was a piggyback to the existing battery, obviously that's a... You take advantage of the charge time and you've got the storage of both. Could be cool.
We'll see where it goes.
Continuing on that, if you would probably want this increased battery life for the first ever TwitchCon. Now, you probably won't have the battery by then due to it will be this year on September 25th to the 26th. This is in San Francisco, where you will be able to meet your favorite streamers and Get together with fans of your favorite streamers. It's the first one, I'm guessing, probably because Amazon took them over and went, how can we better make this rather than just people watching and sitting on their at their computers watching these people, wouldn't it be better if they could actually talk and coerce other than just, you know, a chat screen?
So,
I mean, we're seeing this with other conventions and some of the E3 stuff. You're getting a lot of the YouTubers who do gaming. Twitch and YouTube are becoming platforms for celebrity status people. And it's just getting
so
bigger.
My understanding then is that this is like Twitch recorders, people that play on Twitch, or streamers, I suppose.
Twitch streamers. Twitch is a streaming website.
Streaming, yes, not recording like YouTube.
Yeah. Although it's,
these are the big names on Twitch that stream regularly. You get an opportunity to meet up with them then.
I'm pretty sure they'll come out.
In theory.
In theory.
Yeah.
There, no names have been posted?
No names have been posted yet. It's, you know, we do have, they're several months away.
Sure.
So, you know, I'd expect the large following of, you know, maybe some Hearthstone people there, or, you know, some streamers for first-person shooters of, like, Counter-Strike and things like that. And, well, things like League of Legends as well. But it'll just be the big people and people who want to meet them.
You know,
I bet the Twitch and Amazon are probably funding people to come out, their big names, because you get people from all over the world that are your main streamers, so to speak. So it'll be interesting to see how well this plays out.
You know, I think this is a magnificent idea and opportunity for them. And you know, let me preface this by saying no insult intended to them, but these people on Twitch are nobodies, right? I mean, it's not like we're talking giant name, you know, actors and famous people. This platform has given the average person, you and me, playing games, the opportunity to share what we do and become a big name.
Oh yeah, because if I say people like Amaz, Trump, and Hafu, you two have no idea who I'm talking about.
Yep. Now, not my question is, my only exposure to Twitch has been in the gaming scene. It's not exclusive to gaming, is it? I mean, Twitch technically can, if you're streaming it, you can post it to Twitch, right?
If you're streaming it, you're streaming to Twitch.
But it's not necessarily gaming, though, is my question.
Probably not, but I think most people just use it for gaming.
Okay.
And of course, what other people do is they will record their streaming as well, and then put that onto YouTube as additional income.
I mean, that's what I would do if I had the ability to take advantage of both platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
That's actually surprising, because I haven't seen, there isn't like a YouTube convention where big YouTube stars come out.
No, but a lot of the gaming conventions, the people that are involved go to that. You know, we've seen big names that we follow go to some of the Minecon stuff. E3 will feature some people, I think. So, I mean, there's options for those people.
Huh.
Insomniac Games, they have those guys. A lot of people come out for that. That's more conventions for a game that they invite those people to, not really a focused event for YouTubers to meet the public, but there is a lot of that that happens there. So,
I don't know. It's a good way to get to meet the people you like watching in stream. So, if you are near the San Francisco area between or during the days of September 25th and 26th, you'll have something to do.
Woohoo!
There you go. And transitioning from cyberspace to, well, the real world, back again. In the world of technology, however, we've talked a lot about prosthetics and robotics in the past. A world that I think is amazingly cool, that we can accomplish robotic feats. Well, feats as in accomplishments. Let's just be clear about that. However, we have a new article out. This was on Huffington Post's tech page, and it is titled "Meet the First Men to Get Reconstructed Bionic Hands After Amputation." And if that doesn't make you scratch your head a little bit, I'm not sure what will. The story is that there's three men, all of which were Austrian, who had hand injuries, but one way or another. And they opted for this quote-unquote experiment, you know, and procedure. They opted to have that injured hand amputated. It was then surgically embedded muscle and nerve endings, which I believe either came from or mirror that of in the leg, to control a robotic bionic hand. This is just wicked cool to me. I mean, this is more of a surgery thing and not a prosthetic that you would be able to put on and take off. They didn't go really involved into how permanent some of the fixtures were, you know. In the article, they talked about one of the patients, his son took the hand or had the hand in possession and was took it to his kindergarten class, said, "My dad's a robot."
That's awesome.
But there is something surgically embedded under the skin as part of the anatomy in order to control these devices. One doctor, who is from the Medical University of Vienna, says the first time we have bionically reconstructed a hand. Kind of duh. He said that 5 to 7 years ago, if he would have come across any of these three patients, he would have just shrugged his shoulders and said, "There's nothing I can really do for you." And in that time now, we have this opportunity. They said that one doctor, Dr. K, says that we'll always have issues when dealing with bionic or robotic appendages and communicating to the human brain. Once we decode the actual signals, the problem is that the human brain sends thousands of signals to hands, feet, extremities, so to speak. And at least with current technology, bionics and computing can't handle that much information, can't handle that many commands at the rapid fire. We're able to get there and make usable products, but it's never going to mirror a legitimate hand.
I would be careful saying never.
It's true. Never is a tough one to say. The big trick that we're dealing with right now, though, is that these bionic extremities have no digital or electrical feedback to the body. You know, you can see with your eyes if you've grabbed it far enough, but there's no feeling there. There's no feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So one patient claims that's his biggest, you know, hurdle right now. One patient claims he can throw a ball, but catching it is harder because the bionic hand doesn't move and react the same way as his non-injured, his non-bionic hand does. Another one says he can do pretty much everything he can with a regular hand, with the exception of getting that feedback. You know, am I squeezing too hard, too soft? Does it, you know, I don't want to say pain, but that also deals with the same type of nerve endings. So once we get there, it'll be a whole different ball game. But we are definitely making leaps into this world of being able to help our fellow man with some of the hurdles that life can throw at them.
And it'll certainly be interesting if we do get, maybe I should say when we get to the place where they can get that feedback.
Yeah,
you know, be interesting. Synthetic nerves and being able to, you know, detect pressure. Well, you know, we have sensors for pressure. It's getting that information back into the brain.
Correct. Exactly. Getting that two-way street, you know, factored in and talking correctly.
Yeah, but you know, we've definitely come a long way in a very, very short amount of time, relatively speaking.
Yeah. I mean, look at prosthetics 5-10 years ago. I mean, it's crazy now. And the advance of 3D printers, where people can build stuff in their garages if they want, has only further increased the rate of growth.
Yep.
Because now everybody can be an engineer and a designer. Well, will this work? Let's print it out and find out. Oh, nope, not really. Back to the drawing board.
Need to support here. And, okay,
it's awesome.
That.
I love it.
Yeah, there's it's a whole group of, they call them makers.
Yep.
Maker groups, you know, that make things. It's awesome. It's wonderful.
We have a coworker who recently bought a 3D printer, although he self-admits he hasn't set it up yet. He's had it for like 3 weeks. It's like, how can you not?
How? Yeah, geez, really?
How can you not? Like, that would be, I couldn't wait to test it out and
plug it in.
Get on it, dude.
Even if you just download a pre-made template file of I don't know, something, a screw. I don't know. I would just want to see it do something.
A plastic knife. I've seen kits or files for flare gun frames. I've seen more advanced 3D printers actually make legitimate firearms, which is scary. Yeah. You know, and now there's illegal. No serial number, no traceability, and no documentation.
It is illegal, just for the service announcement here. That is illegal, folks.
Don't get any ideas.
So, but the world is growing.
Yes, it is. Well, let me bring the world crashing back in around you.
No. Please don't.
We covered last week the news from Russia, from Kaspersky Labs, that they had discovered a major malware player on the internet that they strongly feel is the NSA, that was able to wipe and rewrite your hard drive's firmware, essentially turning your computer into a spy against you that you will never, ever be able to detect.
Yes, we did talk about that.
Well, that's suspected to be the NSA. Today we cover one that is actually the NSA. The next batch of slides from our illustrious information leaker, Edward Snowden, came out this week. And it details another long-term partnership between the NSA and GCHQ, which is the British counterpart of the NSA, where they decided to target a company called Gemalto. It is a foreign company somewhere in Europe. Dutch. It is a Dutch company. They saw some encrypted communications between the employees, and they knew what the company is. I'm leading up to it. They managed to crack the communications and dig deeper into their network.
All right. What did they find?
Gemalto is the leading manufacturer of SIM cards for your cell phone.
Oh,
already it starts to set in. So when you have a cell phone, every cell phone has a unique SIM card with a unique identifier. We've covered in some detail in previous podcasts about public key cryptography, where you have a public key and a private key, and unless you have both, you know, blah, blah, blah. We're not going to rehash it.
However, yep, I remember that.
SIM cards have a private key that are tied to that card. Well, yes. NSA hacked into Gemalto's network and downloaded the private key of every SIM card they have made. Equates to...
prepare to be horrified, people.
Extremely horrified. I can't find the number here. I want to say... yeah, they've got... it's in the billions of SIM cards that they have the keys for now.
And now we have to drink. Now we're scared and we have to drink.
So
my computer's against me. My phone's against me. I don't want to live anymore.
They provide the SIM cards for AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, Sprint, and more than 400 other wireless carriers in 85 countries.
So pretty much all of them.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, there's a couple of small players that do some niche stuff, but Gemalto pretty much makes all the SIM cards.
Now, you see, at this point, I wouldn't have a problem with it if it was they had a good track record. And as I'm speaking right here, if they had a good track record, if that they were actually showing, like, oh, we're using this technology to only find terrorists, but they haven't been.
Yeah.
Well, not only haven't they been, but again, the problem with such dragnet, I won't even give this the credibility of being called police work, because it's not.
It's not.
They're taking everything. It's...
They're Minority Report this thing. I mean, it's like, give us all the info and then we'll decide if you're bad or not.
It's no longer innocent till proven guilty. It's, well, how much can we find on you till we can say that you're guilty?
Exactly. And the thing about this is, you know, I'm sure a lot of the guys there mean well. You know? But they just... Well, this is actually several years old now. They've been doing this for that long. We just didn't know.
Yep.
Yep.
They attacked a company based in a separate country. You know, in a lot of... I'm even struggling how to describe this. It's essentially an act of war.
It's cyber terrorism.
It is cyber terrorism. You attacked another country.
Wouldn't it be like if North Korea allegedly hacked Sony?
Yeah, and we're horrified. Guess what? We're doing it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, only when we do it, we're actually getting sensitive information on billions of people to be able to monitor their every word.
More or less, you know, with some exceptions, we're getting information on every cell phone in the world.
Mm-hmm. Text messages, phone calls.
Everything. You name it.
The only way you're safe is if you buy one of those disposable ones that's not tied to anything.
But they've still got the keys for it.
Yeah, but they don't know who it's tied to.
True. So, what do we do with this? Well, we fight back.
Can we fight back?
We can fight back, actually. So... the fortunate thing for us is that encryption and security can be done in layers. And actually, you and I, Garrett, we use a text messaging app. Seeing as we're on different platforms, we had to find a text message app that allowed us to communicate easily. And we use one that is encrypted. Now, the beauty of that is we're encrypting our text messages inside the encryption that our cell phone is giving. So
it's a two-layered system.
It's a two-layered system. So now that we know that the NSA has the keys to the cell phone layer, okay, that's stripped away. That's meaningless now. But guess what? Our inner encryption layer is still good.
Yep.
And they don't have the keys to that.
Because the messages are generated within this app that's putting the encryption on.
Correct.
Before the message is even typed out, it's encrypted. As opposed to seeing something you type into your standard messaging, which would be recorded, and then encrypted on the send.
Correct. Wrong, because they still have the malware on your phone's hard drive, and have already getting
in. Gee, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. Here's the realism for you.
Yeah. So it's, you know, layers of encryption is the answer, but you know what? As Wade just pointed out, again... okay, maybe your phone doesn't have malware. Maybe it does, especially if you're running Android. That's an issue you need to be aware of, because you can install whatever you want, including bad stuff. But especially on computers. Even with multiple layers of encryption, if they have your hard drive compromised and can see it at all stages, it doesn't matter, because they can read it before you encrypt it five times.
You think...
yeah.
Well, let's just see how easy this is. iTunes on your computer, update iTunes, there you go.
Yeah.
Hook up your phone to iTunes, put a song in there, there may be something in that song.
that's what they call iTunes extras.
Yep,
that's right.
And here you thought you were getting bonus content.
Bum.
It's really scary. Yeah. This is...
I mean, you how do you attack a federal agency under grounds of illegal actions when they're the government writing the laws for themselves? I mean,
But here's even the irony with that. Yes, it's the government writing the laws, but it's also the government ignoring the laws that they write themselves.
That they write, because they know there's no penalties for themselves.
Exactly. Because all they have to do is cite national security, and they get a free pass.
So let me get this straight. Getting information on billions of people's cell phones because they were after one is justifiable?
I'm not even rhetorical. Sure if they were after one. That obviously, that information is classified.
Yeah.
For all we know, they may not have even been after anybody. This may just have been a, hey, I think we can do... Oh, look, we can do this. Now we have everything. We have the keys to the kingdom.
So what stops... Now that this has been made public, what stops the company from starting over and, you know, a clean slate, so to speak?
That's a good question, actually. So I don't think there's anything stopping them. I think they can, going forward, figure out how they got in, close the holes, and start fresh.
How about the computer that's got the keys is offline? There's a thought. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe they're... that's actually the way to do it.
I know. And I'm not a network engineer or...
They're sitting there with like a burnt disc, just be like, here it is.
Yeah, no, it's called air gapping. The computer that has the sensitive information never sees the internet, never sees a network.
Yeah, but I don't think air gapping is an applicable term anymore with Wi-Fi and everything.
Okay, but that is true. But that is the term. It does not have a network connection. That's the way you're supposed to do it. But... The only way to fix this for the rest of us is multi-billion SIM card recall.
Which won't happen.
No. I would be surprised if it did.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, they're so tiny, how much do they actually cost? But when you're when you're replacing every product you ever sold, obviously it doesn't matter how much it costs.
Well, okay, so even if it was a dollar... I mean, figure, SIM cards are not just memory. It's an actual processor. Yep. It's a CPU, right? It does cryptographic processing. Let's say they're $1 a piece. Well, now you're up to $2-3 billion.
Yeah,
that's on not top insignificant.
On top of the $2-3 billion you earned by making them and selling them the first time. So now each end user, you've had twice the manufacturing cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The fallout is beginning to hit from this whole NSA debacle. U.S. Technology manufacturers have already started reporting in their earnings that they are starting to see a downturn in international orders, particularly from Southeast Asia, i.e. China.
Yep.
Or predominantly China, and particularly in the telecommunications industry. Cisco has been hit phenomenally hard by this.
Huh. That's partially interesting, and at the same time, I get it.
But well,
that's going to be the deciding factor for the NSA is when it starts hitting the wallets of the economy.
Absolutely.
Then that should turn some heads, because... For anyone who's too naive out there in the world to realize that the only thing that gets the world moving is money.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are, where you are, what you're doing. The rich get richer because they know how to make more money than the poor.
Your pillow that says love makes the world go round is lying to you.
Right. And when actions of the government start to impact, I don't know, tax revenue because there's less sales tax being paid because... People aren't buying the stuff because they're afraid. It doesn't sound like a lot, but when you get your entire population spending 10% less on products, it's going to make a dent. People will notice.
Here's the chilling fact from that. I don't know for sure. I'm not a statistician. I'm not an economist. I don't claim to have the answers. But... given how bad this has gotten, it may already be too late. You think about the loss of credibility that we are now facing. You figure, okay, so this isn't Cisco's fault. Let's use them for the example. This is not Cisco's fault.
Sure.
They made a device. Their device works. In fact, we use some of their devices, and their devices work really well.
Yep.
But they were named because that's one of the devices that the NSA targeted after it leaves Cisco. Okay, I want to be perfectly clear that, to the best of our knowledge, they are not complicit in this. They ship a perfectly good product. Somewhere en route, the NSA intercepts it and puts their backdoor software in. Yep. We know this because that was part of one of the previous Snowden releases. That Cisco devices specifically are targeted because they are core infrastructure. Well, the fallout from that is nobody wants to buy Cisco from International anymore. Why would you?
Yeah.
There's exactly. Nothing wrong with the Cisco device, but you know the NSA is targeting them. No thanks.
And you take one of the leader in network engineering companies and manufacturers and you potentially cripple them.
Exactly. Well, you figure we may be the biggest economy in the world or one of the biggest economies in the world, but we are not up and coming, and we are not anywhere close to the most populous.
And it only takes one slice of the heel to bring you down.
Absolutely.
And we're not self-sufficient.
Uh-uh. And we're looking to Southeast Asia now. We've got India with over 1 billion people. We've got China with over 1 billion people. Yes, living conditions there are still not great, but they are improving. They are a rapidly expanding economy. They are up and coming in the technology world. If they don't trust us anymore, they're not going to buy from us anymore. Nope. How long until the rest of the world goes to them?
Exactly. And
then where are we? It may already be too late.
Yeah. The avalanche is rolling.
In ending terms, I'm particularly reminded of a quote from V for Vendetta.
I was thinking about this earlier.
The government should fear its people, not people fearing their government.
Yep.
And they don't anymore.
They don't.
We've lost control of the government.
And the question comes, how do we fix it?
And that is a very good question. To which I don't have the answer.
For brighter minds than ours.
I would appeal to our listeners. Respond, repine, post on our Facebook, respond to Twitter. Let us know what you're thinking.
Yep. How do we fix the world we've created for ourselves?
Get ready to line up for the chips in your brain. And you know, think I'm joking is the scary point.
No.
No, that was a nervous chuckle.
It's so feasibly doable, it's scary. It really, really is.
Well, you know, our pieces segued together very nicely. What do we do with our brand new state-of-the-art augmented bionic bodies when the government takes them over?
Yeah.
I mean, once upon a time, you know, I would have been accused of wearing a tinfoil hat and you're just a hack with crazy conspiracy theories. But goodness, look at the news.
Yeah.
Turns out they were ahead of their times. On a long
enough timeline, the crazy things...
They were right.
...are not only right, but become the norm.
Yeah. You know? So, I'm going off the grid.
Yeah.
You know, I'll use the internet at the library or the cafe.
That's right. I mean,
seriously, this is scary.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no way to stop it. You know, you can either just deal with it or clock out.
Go live in a cave.
Yep. Go back to a basic, standard push button phone and. No internet capabilities and
screw that you're sending.
Read a newspaper.
Screw that you're sending smoke signals. And eventually, someone in the NSA is going to like translation and
you're a terrorist.
He wants steak for dinner. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, on the bright side of that, though, there is no expectation of privacy, right? You are not encrypting your smoke signals.
Yeah.
That's true.
They are in the clear for everybody to read.
Assuming you know how to read them. Yep.
Substitution cipher. Anyway, it's kind of a chilling note, but...
Yeah, ending on that note, too. We're right at the 55-minute mark here, and I don't have anything with the same level of gravity to follow up on that.
I do.
Yeah, I know.
I can make this worse.
No.
We'll save that for next week.
Great. We got a 3-week stretch of depression.
Something to look forward to. Bring the, bring the alcohol next week.
Yeah, don't tempt me.
We know what happens when I'm drinking on the podcast. It does not end or start well.
It can't be funny, though. Well, guys, thanks again for listening. Hope you got something out of this podcast. I certainly did. Let us know in the comments what you think about these stories.
Sense of dread and fear. Sorry.
Yeah. Thanks for that. We'll see you next week.
Keep on gaming offline.
That's a wrap.